All right, let's get started, fellas. Facts and Children's, William Quackenbush here with 105.5 The Roar. We've got Kay Rich, we've got Coach Luke, and we've got Coach Spiller. Fellas, appreciate all you guys getting in with us today, and we appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah.
Appreciate you having us.
I want to start out and not throwing shade at Coach Spiller. I promise. I'm not trying to throw
you
under the bus immediately. But
yeah.
Was there a matching shirt memo today that you missed, or did they miss what your memo was with the white blue? I'll give you a chance to defend yourself first.
Well, I would think that, you know, the guy that's in the middle, I thought he'll probably get the memo. We kind of real close. We neighbors, you know what I mean? So I thought he would get the memo. I kind of expect the guy to my far left to kind of not get that memo. And so that's typical him, you know, want to do his own thing.
I think it just goes to show how tight-knit the offensive line and the tight end group are versus the offensive line and the running back group.
I think that's been
go ahead with your response.
I think that's been a running thing. Summer, so you know, we're just trying to be different and, you know, just gonna try to make it work.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, Coach Spiller, we can start with you on that front. Talk to me a little bit about the offseason and how that's been going with your position group with running backs.
It's been well. Haven't had any issues, so that's always a plus. Those guys, they working hard with the summer conditioning and the weights, and so they all in a great mindset, which is what you want. And they all know what they need to work on leading up to fall camp. And so I think all of them individually attack that on a daily basis. And so I'm just excited to get back and get started with them.
You know, it's interesting. You think about running backs, think about tight ends. I think a lot of the same questions. You've got bulk guys who took a ton of snaps who are gone. So you've got voids to fill. Coach Richardson, how's that gone with your team trying to figure out who's next or maybe who's in the group that's next?
Yeah, you know, it's a – you know, obviously a big void you got to fill there with as many snaps as Brenny played and just the experience that he had. But, you know, the group from top to bottom is a hardworking group, and they're excited about the, you know, what's there. And they didn't come here to sit the bench and not play football. They came here to play football and play football at a high level, and they've been training hard, and they've been working hard for years for this moment. And there's a lot of experience from practice, but it's just the game experience that you're going to miss with Brenny going out with all the reps that he had.
And Coach Luke, you know, you got Richardson here, Coach Spiller here, a lot of turnovers we alluded to. But with you, you have a lot of continuity with your unit up front, right. And you've also bolstered that with a lot of great recruiting and some great depth behind that. Talk a little bit in totality about your group and the progress they've made throughout the course of the offseason.
Yeah, I just think just want to keep building on that. I thought last year was a good first step, if that makes sense. And we just really want to build on that. But, you know, we still got to go put the work in. That's the main focus for us, is just going to put the work in and continuing to get better, continuing to create more depth. It's a long season, and especially with the, you know, the expanded playoff. I mean, it's a long season. You have to create depth. You saw that toward the end of last year where, you know, having to shuffle guys around and move guys around, and we really just want to create that depth and go put the work in, and because there's no shortcut. There's no, like, secret recipe. You just got to go put the work in, and that's what we got to go do.
We know that depth is fragile, particularly in offensive line. You talked about in November, you guys were really mixing and matching hard. But do you feel like you're in a really good spot in terms of the bodies that you know, the guys that have played, and then just the general talent that's in your room, that you do have that depth, at least in a pretty good spot heading into August?
Yeah, there's no substitute for experience, and we got some guys that have played a lot of ball. And so I think that helps. And I think that helps the younger guys when you have experienced guys in front of you. Like, you know, guys like Braden and like Elijah Thurman, those guys have some experienced guys that they can watch and learn from. So, okay, this is how we do it. So that's definitely a bonus.
Coach Richardson, while we're on the topic of blocking with Coach Luke, I want to ask you a little bit about your room and your expectations for that group in totality and that aspect of playing tight end. Obviously, with OPH, who everybody's super high on, Bentan Kerr is a young player that I think has a ton of potential. Talk a little bit about how that element can start to showcase itself this year with your tight ends.
At the tight end position, obviously, you got to be able to play in space and do some things there, but you got to get in the box and you got to go handle your business there. It's not fair to the
Coach Luke. Let the record show. Enough of the audio. Coach Luke is fist bumping. He's very excited about this answer.
It's not just a polo wearing tight knit group. But you know, going into year two with you know, me and Matt together, and I've learned a ton from him. You know, from being in the box blocking, and the way that he talks to his guys is the same way that I want to try to talk to ours and mesh all that together. So really excited about the group. They're a physical group, but again, just a lack of ton of experience in games to where, you know, those bullets start flying and things are different. So, we got to work really hard. You can't roll out a game experience in practice, but we got to work really hard to have the physicality in practice that we know we're going to see in week one all the way there to the end.
And Coach Richardson, we'll ask this to Coach Riley as well, but something sticks out to me about your group is the ability to go into 12 personnel and to play two tight ends and have a couple different guys have different skill sets. So talk to me a little bit about utilizing that this year in comparison to years past and, you know, some of the unique skill sets that your players in that room possess.
Well, you know, I try to recruit the room not to all look the same and have the same skill set. So as you look at them, some of them are more athletic than others. Some of them are their bodies look different than others. But at the end of the day, that allows us to mix and match our personnel to get the best of both worlds. So I don't see that being any different this year. And you know, we talk about experience, and everybody wants to talk about how much is leaving the room. But, you know, we played 12 and we played 13 personnel, a handful of snaps every game last year. And those guys, and there was more than just one tight end playing in those quote-unquote game experience reps. So, you know, we're not going into a season where we're blind completely to the fact of what it takes to play in a game. Olsen played a ton of snaps last year, too. In 11 personnel and 12 personnel. So it's just getting in a situation where they see it all and not just bits and pieces of what their game plan specific stuff was.
Kyle Richardson, Matt Luke, CJ Spiller join us on the program. I want to ask you because I'm gonna take responsibility on this. I don't think I thought about Jay Haynes until like last week, okay? Mm-hmm. Because we've had a lot of conversation about Adam, a lot of conversation about Gideon, about David. Jay Haynes is sort of out of sight, out of mind for us. And yet, I'm thinking, if he can help this group, I mean, he was a backup last year. So, what are the expectations for Jay, where he is in his rehab, and how soon can he help this team?
His rehab been going really well, and so that's always a positive. And so, hopefully, you know, just stay on course with that. And, you know, the biggest thing with that, because that's not like a shoulder injury, you know, and so just want to be smart with him and make sure that, you know, mentally that he's ready. I think physically, you know, he's getting himself back into that type of shape. And so we kind of just stay the course and kind of just see where he at. But, man, he still has a bright career ahead of him. He just had a little minor setback. But he has attacked this rehab with that Mike Tyson mindset, I guess you can say.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the mental part, and I do think people are talking about the physical, like getting his knee right. But you know this playing a position. Like, you got to be mentally where you want to be, even if the physical's right. What are your conversations like? Even things like nagging injuries where you're talking to the guys in your group about just getting your mind right when you do have a physical setback like that.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is just gaining that confidence. I mean, I think that's the one biggest thing that you can have. I kind of experienced that when I broke my collarbone when I was with Buffalo. That was, you know, physically I was good, but it was the mental thing. You know, can I take a shot on? And I remember we played the Oakland Raiders, actually, and Hall of Famer Charles Woodson came up and hit me on it, and I was like, okay, it's good. And so after that, I knew I was good because I hadn't played, you know, in about 10 weeks. So, you know, once I took that shot, it was that. And so it'll be the same thing with Jay, is just, you know, taking that first or making that first cut and realizing that, you know, mentally that the knee is stable and that is good to go. And so, but that's probably like the next hurdle that he has to take going through this rehab process.
And Coach Spiller, you know, we talked with Coach Richardson about the versatility and the different profiles in his room. The same can be said about you guys at running back. It feels like there's six capable players. You know, you got some scat back options. But the big question for everybody right now is pass protection.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about that development throughout the course of the offseason and what you're seeing from your group in that regard.
Well, those guys, they took it upon themselves to really study that. And I think they've done a great job of getting with the offensive line and really just being on the same thing. And, you know, My big fella right here, Coach Luke, man, he does a great job with us. And just for communication, I think that's the biggest thing that he always points out, is just communication and understanding where to start your eyes at. I think that's the biggest thing with pass protection, is having your eyes start in the right protection, because you don't want to be out there like a bobblehead. you know, and then now you can't get out. And so I think we've done a job, you know, since Coach Luke been on board of really having a good communication line of understanding, you know, where the line's going and understanding who we have and not falling for the bait. You know, if they're not coming, get out. You know, that's the thing that I'm always telling. But at the end of the day, pass protection just comes down to just a will.
And then talk to me a little bit about Adam Randall making that transition coming over from wide receiver to running back. It looks like he towers over everybody else in the backfield with his big stature.
Well, I mean, he's the tallest one. I mean, he's the tallest running back I ever had. I mean, he's 6'3", you know, and so he's a guy. And so when you're dealing with a taller back, you have to just make sure that they're doing a good job of sinking their hips because they might think that they're sinking their hips, but they're not just because of their height. You know, and that goes the same for him and Easy and Jay because they are taller guys than what we have in there. But, you know, especially for Adam being the tallest one. But he had a great spring. And, I mean, the thing about Adam is, man, that he's a learner. He want to learn. And so he loves a challenge. And he came in there open arms. And, you know, he didn't come in there thinking that he knew it. And so he won the position. And so we went through the spring just taking baby steps. It wasn't like we tried to throw him out there in the Atlantic Ocean and tell him, hey, figure it out. And so, you know, we took the baby steps with him. And, you know, as spring went on, he just gradually just got better and better. And so, but we'll see. He's still got a long way to go. But I'm pretty sure that he's excited about it.
Coach Luke, we talked about all of the options that you have. You have some solidarity, like your tackles feel pretty set. You've got a lot of options in the middle. And I was just trying to sketch out just a little depth chart. It was hard. I mean, I know that's a challenge for you. Is there a range of guys that you feel good about, particularly in that interior of shuffling the deck a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think the good part about it is that when you have a competition, it makes everybody better. And I think we do have – that's the best part about depth is that if some guy has a bad day, you have a guy that can take your spot. And I think that's huge. It kind of keeps everybody on their toes. And that's – you want a healthy competition at every position. But even at the tackles, you want young guys to start pushing those older guys, you know, where they feel that. And I think that's important.
Coach Richardson, I want to ask you about a player I'm really high on long term that I think has a chance to be special in Christian Bentancur. Talk to me a little bit about how his ability as a basketball player has translated to the football field. Because watching his tape from a basketball perspective, he's grabbing rebounds. You know, he's dunking it. He's in the lane. He's making plays. And Coach Sweeney mentioned that, you know, when we were just getting familiar with him as a prospect and a player, what growth have you seen from him throughout the course of his redshirt year? And how can some of those unique traits that he possesses translate onto the football field?
Yeah, I mean, he's an athletic guy. He's got a great, you know, great size, great body. And that was one of the things that when we were recruiting him, you know, up in Chicago, you know, watching him on the basketball court was, you know, he's a great basketball player. He's got some kind of, I don't know the exact stat line, but he's the only player in the state of Illinois that's caught, you know, 200 career balls and scored 2,000 points or something crazy like that. So, but what's different about him is just really what separates him is probably his mindset. He doesn't, you know, he's just wired different. You know, he's super competitive, but he also knows where his weaknesses are, and he works really hard to, you know, try to turn those into strengths. And then the flip side of it is he goes above and beyond in taking care of his body. He goes above and beyond in mentally what he's got to do to execute. So physically, yeah, he looks the part, but all these other attributes that he has is what makes him a really special player.
Coach Luke, I want to ask you about a freshman too, because I've been watching a lot of AI videos recently, and when I saw the video,
well, I'm out on this question.
When you're going to be very much back in, because Brandon Jacobs is the biggest running back I've ever seen, and. Right. Braden looks – I mean, he makes Brandon Jacobs look like he's been downsized by three, like he's in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. What – I mean, that guy's – and you've coached some five-star guy. You've coached some really –
right.
Physically, that's got as impressive as most any freshman that you've coached.
Yeah, he's a big, talented guy. And he does have size. And sometimes, like, you know, you see it in spring just because of his size. Like, he could make a mistake and potentially get away with it just because of his length and his size and his ability to lean on people. It does make a difference. And there's obviously a lot of work to do with him. But, you know, those 15 practices in the spring were really, really important.
What are some of the things when you have a guy that big that can get away with some stuff? Do you have to coach him different? Do you coach him harder? Like, what?
Yeah,
what's
that
process
like? It's not that you coach him different. You just make sure that you explain it because they've been getting away with this for a long time, and you just wanted them to understand that, hey, even though that, hey, yeah, you got your job done, but if you like, you have to do it the right way. And then when you get a guy that's uber talented and he starts doing things the right way, then you become special. Like, there's a difference between being good and being special. And I think when you get guys that are super talented that have that size and have that ability, but then they start doing things the right way, stepping with the proper foot, getting their hands right, playing with good pad level, because that's a challenge. When you're 6'7", it's hard to play low. You got to get them out of their comfort zone, and that's a huge challenge.
Coach Spiller, I want to ask you about your freshman, Gideon Davidson, and just the opportunity to coach him, number one. And then number two, we've heard a lot about the intangibles he possesses. How was that rubbed off on some of the other guys that maybe, like, you see? It's almost like when people talk about it, it's a little bit like Will Shipley when he came in, and like he's sort of trying to start leading some of the older guys. What's that dynamic like with you?
Well, first of all, I mean, just a great kid. I mean, it was awesome getting an opportunity to get to know him and his family through the recruiting process. And, I mean, he's just a hard worker. I mean, that's what he possesses. And he understands that, the stuff that he done in high school is behind him, and that, he's in a new chapter of his life and he has to come in and prove it. And so we had some great conversations along the line of, how I was able to handle that when I got here. And I think he took that to heart. And so he's just one of those guys that just comes in the room and just want to just soak up as much knowledge as he possibly can, and just try to just go out there and just let his athletic ability showcase.
All right, last question. I'm going to ask each one of you guys this. Kyle, we'll start with you. What is your one priority? You got to get one thing done in August. What's the number one thing on your checklist for the tight ends?
Just getting these guys to understand what's coming. And that's hard. Like I said, it's hard when, Olsen's played in these games that these big games. Christian played a little bit there at the end, had a big block on kickoff return on the ACC championship. But, and Sapp has kind of been sprinkled in twos. But at the same time, that week one kickoff in the Valley, it's just going to be different. And them understanding there's not somebody that is going to take the majority of that pressure, the majority of that off of them. That's been the case the last couple of years in Brittany. It's the same as when Davis was the one and Brittany was the two. It's very similar to the way the room is set up now. You just got to – Davis walks out the door and now, hey, we're going to go, ball's ball and we got to go do it. But the lights will be a little bit brighter on that week one, and just getting them to understand that as we go through practice every day. And like Matt said, having a healthy competition in the room, because everybody wants to play, and this room is – there's not a lot of drop-off from the guys, one, two, three. And so it'll be fun to watch, but at the same time, there's got to be a sense of urgency there too.
Same question, offensive line. Coach Luke, what's your number one priority in August?
Yeah, I was sitting there while he was answering. I was thinking about about that. But the word that comes to my mind is vision. Like, you have a vision of what you want it to look like when your five guys walk there on the field. And I just want to work really hard to make that vision come to life. Like, when people come to watch the Clemson offensive line play, we want it to look a certain way. And I should be able to bring my wife to the game who knows nothing about football. She's like, man, those guys are playing really, really hard, and they're playing together. And you just – so that's my goal, is to try to make the vision of what we want it to look like and try to bring it to life on the field. That way everybody knows, like, when we walk off the field, they're like, those guys play hard. Those guys are together. They know what the hell they're doing, and they play really, really hard. And there's probably 1,000 technical things that we have to get better at. But just overall, I would say making that vision come to life as one cohesive unit that plays really, really hard, and that everybody knows that when they watch him play.
Coach Spiller, we'll let you finish it out for us on that. Number one priority, August camp.
Foundation. I think that's what it starts with. You got to have a great foundation. I think, and I learned that, through house building. Building a home is, the biggest thing before you build that house, before you put all the bricks up and the studs and all that, you got to have a great foundation. And so we got to come out of fall camp with a great foundation. And then as the season go, you start building your home. Now, it's going to be some things that we'll do during camp that's intangible. But the biggest thing for me is we got to have a strong foundation because there will be storms that's going to come, and we got to be able to handle those. And if you have a great foundation, you get swept away. And there's going to be some mountaintops that we're going to have throughout the season. He got to know how to handle those too as well. And so for me, it always starts with the foundation in that room. And so that's going to be my message to the guys, is that we got to set a strong foundation for how we want this season to look.
Coach Spiller, Coach Luke, Coach Richardson, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate the time, and best of luck this season. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks, Max.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.